If you would stand out of respect for God's word, Ephesians chapter 4, you're welcome to turn in your Bible to Ephesians 4. If you don't have a Bible, we have it on the overhead. Ephesians 4, we're going to start with verse 11 through 16. I will read the first verse and you can read the next, and we'll go back and forth. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. Hear the word of God. Well, that's not Ephesians 4. That's 1 John. That would have been not good. Let's get to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 11, it says this. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Live, am I got this right? That's 17. 17 and 11, when you're 50 years old, look the same. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Come on. Can we get some amen for 50 and above folks out there? Awesome. I remember when I was preaching a long time ago, about 7 or 8 years ago, I was in denial that I couldn't see, and it was my beloved wife playing that role we know that wives play and saying, you are reading scripture incorrectly. I said, no, I'm not. She said, yes, you are. You can't see, and you need to admit it. And I just did it again. I went to verse 17 instead of 11 because I couldn't see it. Ephesians 4, 11. I'll read 11, you read 12. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Verse 12. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we may be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Instead, we will speak truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body. Together perfectly as each part does its own special work. Did I mess that completely up? You guys read 16 for me then. The church said amen, yeah? That was tough. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord. Today, I pray the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray at this moment, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. You can have a seat. I am glad you're with us today, church. Anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord? I got to confess, some of you seem a little tired, but I believe that God wants to renew your spirit. Can I get an amen? Amen. The Bible says that if we wait upon the Lord, we will renew our spirit. We will walk on, I can't even get my verses together today. Come on. Were you going to quote for me, Cecil? We will mount on wings as eagles. We will walk and not grow weary. We will run and not be faint. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Cecil, for helping me out, a brother Ed, who had forgot his verse completely. Let me give you a couple announcements before we jump in today's word. I just want to encourage you, if you're new to Mosaic, after church, my wife and I and a few of the leaders would love to meet with you right back here for just a couple of minutes, what we call meet and greet. There's a little snack, and we want to introduce and answer questions about what Mosaic is. We'd love to meet with you. So we'll get you out in time for eating lunch, but please come out back here right after service. Secondly, what Ebony just said, I really want to encourage you, not tomorrow, but the next Monday on the 16th, you need to come to this class. You have no excuse. For the 8 weeks, we're providing food. That's a good incentive. Can somebody say amen? We got childcare. We really want to teach you what it looks like and what the Bible says about how to deal with money. You can love Jesus. If you don't get the money thing right, you will be in stress. So we as a church are committed to help you with that. And lastly, baptisms. We are committed to celebrating a new life in Jesus Christ. So if you have never been baptized, next week, I'd love to be able to talk with you. You can get to the information table. We really want to be able to celebrate. It's a highlight at Mosaic every time we baptize, and we want to be a part of that. Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, I'd like to jump in today's word, if I may. Let me just say this, is that as I have prayed, I believe, I don't know what, but I just step out here a bit and tell you that I believe that God is asking us to do something that we don't even know yet, but by the end of the service, he has got something for every single one of us. I prayed early this morning that God would speak and he would pour out his spirit in such a way that we would all know what that is. And so I'm believing him for that. I'm just the messenger, and then you get to choose whether or not you want to say yes or no to it. Amen? Now, we've been looking at this topic, Holy Spirit. When I say Holy Spirit, how many of you raised in a church, raise your hands. When I say Holy Spirit, your antennas go off. We have all these different ideas and all these different concepts when we say Holy Spirit. Some of us will equate Holy Spirit only with speaking in tongues. We will equate Holy Spirit only with signs and wonders. But he is much greater and much broader than just those things. Some of us don't know that the Holy Spirit is God. We think the Holy Spirit is like Star Wars, the Force, and that we have an evil force and we have the good force, but the Holy Spirit is God. Can I get an amen? And we looked at his different roles, and the reason why this topic is so important for us is we can get you all excited on a Sunday morning. We can tell you to go yay for God and all of that. But if you do not understand the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm here to tell you I've set you up for failure Monday through Saturday, that you will not have what it takes. The church today is impotent because the church has forgotten the Holy Spirit. The church doesn't understand that his role in our life is to enable us to do everything that is written here. And we need to not be afraid of him. He desires to be so personal in each of our lives. And so I'm praying that you and I today get a fuller glimpse of the role of the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid of his working in your life. Do not allow tradition or denomination or your background to get away in what the Bible declares what he wants to do in your life. Now, here's what I know to be true. It is not, the Holy Spirit is not someone that only looks at certain people who somehow have a corner and a truth on God, so they get a special blessing, and somehow you're the second fiddle. Somehow you're the second choice. Sometimes you feel like you're the fifth choice. What I know to be true with the Holy Spirit of God is that he desires for every single one of us to experience that intimacy with God, your spirit with his spirit, and once you have that experience, you'll know what I'm talking about. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So we started looking at these roles that he plays in our lives. Let me quickly review. Number one, we said in the past few weeks, he's the Holy Spirit is a revealer. He reveals things to us. How many of you remember when you were blind spiritually? Anybody remember when you were blind? And when you're blind, you don't know where you're going. And sometimes in that blindness, the uniqueness of the message of Christianity is this, that God continues to initiate after you and continues to initiate towards me. All the other religions of the world, they declare that we try to work at God. We try to get God's attention. And we say, hey, God, do you see this? But Christianity is a whole different message. It's a message that declares that God initiates towards you and me in such a way that we have an ability to hear him. He reveals things that we otherwise can't see for ourselves. The role of the Holy Spirit is not only to reveal, is that he redeems us. He redeems us. And we looked at the life of Jesus, and when you look from his birth all the way through, the Holy Spirit filled him for the activities in which he needed to do. We looked at the role that he indwells us, a very, very controversial term. And when we look at the word indwell, that is not so much of a mystical where God's spirit lives in our physical body as much as it means intimacy, that God is intimate with us and he's not limited by time or space and is able to be intimate with us, the Emmanuel, God with us. Can I get an amen? He transforms us. His role is to transform us. Remember, we talked about the fruit of the spirit. Anybody want love, joy? Anyone want peace? What about patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control? Anybody want those good gifts? The Holy Spirit, he transforms us and he gives us those. He also fills us, and that's a controversial term. Well, you hear a word, baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls it to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, and that simply means you are controlled by him. You give up control of him. I said that week to you when we looked at it, as I said, don't you wish it was a one and done? That when you just all of a sudden you kneel and you say, here, you can have control of my life, and then it would all be done. No. God desires for you and I to make that first decision to ask him to fill us, but then he wants us to make that decision every single day, and the reason for that is he wants a relationship with us. He desires. If we only had a one and done, then we would have no need for God. We'd already be there, done that. But he then demands of you and I that we would then every single day ask ask him to control us in such a way that then we can become an overcomer. Can I get an amen? Amen. And as we look at this question that I ask myself, how do I know if I'm not walking in step with God? How do I know when I'm not walking close to his spirit? I have a couple of thoughts for you. Well, how I know when I'm not walking close to the Holy Spirit is that I'm self-focused. It becomes all about me. Anybody been there? How do I know that I'm not walking in the Spirit is that I'm too sensitive. My feelings are hurt all the time. How do I know when I'm not walking in the Holy Spirit is when, in that moment, I have a short fuse and people get on my nerves and I want to knock people's heads off. Anybody been there? I know that when I put my security in wrong things. And so when we look at this, the Holy Spirit's work is continual in our lives to allow us to be what we need to be. He is involved in the big areas of our lives, and he's involved with the small areas in our lives. He's involved in all areas of our lives. Can I get an amen? And this scripture that I read to you talks about those various things he orchestrates. Have you ever been to a concert where you see the conductor? Anybody been there? The Holy Spirit is exactly that. He conducts, matter of fact, what you don't see in the spiritual world right now, I don't know where you are right now in your mind. You may be thinking about lunch. You may be thinking about next week. But what I know the Holy Spirit is doing regardless, because you get a free whether you're focusing or not, he's conducting this whole thing right now. And he wants to do something special in all of us. You and I get to choose whether we're going to listen or not. The question, as I say all the time, is it isn't whether God's speaking. The question is, are you listening to him? He's speaking all the time. He speaks through pain. He speaks through trouble. He speaks through struggle. He actually speaks through failure. Can I get an amen? Why is everybody laughing? Oh, we got a... That is awesome. You will always be shown up by a child. I trust me, parents, we do not lose them. We always find them at one moment or another, right? So let's look at... You can pull out your notes. Let me give you, in conclusion today, a few final thoughts of the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, these last three, the first roles that we talked about, you know what they were? They were about us, what God was going to do in us. But he doesn't do all that in our lives just so that we could be happy Christians. He does all of that in our lives so that we can go out and change the world. And that's what these roles of the Holy Spirit are about today. Does that make sense? He doesn't just make it so that we can be happy and not without struggle. He does all of those things that we've talked about so that we can go out and change the world. Can I get an amen? So the first point you'd see there on your notes is that his role, he is the giver of spiritual gifts. Would you repeat after me? Say, Lord, give us gifts. Lord, give us gifts. Look at somebody and say, Lord, give us gifts. Lord, give us gifts. We know that he desires to give us gifts. How many like to receive gifts? Yeah. How many of you like birthdays? All right. How many of that's your language of love? Give me gifts and I feel loved. Anybody that way? Lord knows, I know that's my wife. She loves receiving gifts. And the Bible tells us, you my friends, when you and I decide to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the giver of spiritual gifts. Every single one of us. And in this Bible passage that I just read to you, those gifts are different for all of us. And he said some are prophets, some are teachers, some are pastors, and some are people of faith. And the Bible gives us a lot of different passages about this. I don't have time to go into all of those, but you can look in your notes. We got Romans 12 and Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4, and he gives us all this list. And guess what? Every single one of you, it says you're going to follow God, you get a spiritual gift. You may get more, but you may receive a gift. And the purpose of this gift is not so that you can just be happy. The purpose of the gift is so that you can be used by God and you can be used in the church and through the church to change the world. Can I get an amen? That's the purpose of the gift. Now, the gift, the spiritual gifts that God gives us, they are different than our talents and they are different than fruit. I already talked about fruit, didn't I? Galatians 5. Fruit is for everybody. We all get the same thing. Gifts are different. Somebody may get this or get this and get this, and somebody only may get this. It's God's decision what he wants to give us as it relates to the gifts, so they are different. Now, a talent is simply something you were born with. It's still from God, but here's what I know about talents. For the most part, talents never glorify God. You get glorified. You get glorified as a result of that talent. Now, you can flip that upside down and use your talent for God, but a talent is something you were born with, and you can use that. You can play the keyboard, but then you can take that talent, make it a spiritual gift, and lead in worship. Does that make sense to anybody? Why does God, we realize that God sometimes will use people mightily with spiritual gifts. And yet we will see them used mightily with spiritual gifts, but then when we look at their lives, they may be people that have a short temper. They may have these areas of their life that we look at. How can they be used so amazingly by God in this spiritual gift, but yet their character is in need? And I think the problem with that is that God doesn't necessarily see or evaluate giftedness as we do. Fruit is the certain measure for spiritual growth. Your fruit, not spiritual gift. You get gift when you come to Jesus. But fruit is the measurement that we talked about last week that shows where you're growing or not. Rewards will be based on faithfulness, a fruit of the Spirit, not on one's gift. And that's really important for us to know. So you may say, okay, how do I know what my gift is? Anybody been there? You're talking about a spiritual gift? I have no idea what you're talking about, Pastor Mick. Here's what you do. You start serving now. Here's what I know to be true. God speaks through the church. In my own life, I experienced what my gifts were by serving God. And as I continued to walk through doors, those things became apparent in my life. And secondly, I let the church speak into my life. I don't know whether you believe this or not, because the church gets a bad rap all the time, but God still uses the church to speak. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So when the church affirms this in my life, then I'm going to know that this is something that God has given me in my life and I can use it. So I go out and I test, and then I see whether there's a result of it, and then I know whether it's affirmed by the church that is calling me to that. Does that make sense? So I've been preaching for many, many years, for 30 plus years, which is a gift of exhorting, and the church would be one that would actually acknowledge whether I had that gift or not. If you were all sleeping in Jesus right now, then I would probably not think I have the gift of exhortation, or you stayed up too late watching a football game. All right? Secondly, we need to know is that as we figure out our gifts, I need to know that I'm actually doing what God wants me to do, because this is really important for us. You may also understand that we actually give spiritual gifts tests at this church. So it's not just trying to serve God and being affirmed by the church. We actually have gifts, what we call spiritual growth class, that we have every so often on Sunday mornings that help you to see where you think your spiritual gifts are at. And I knew mine was exhortation. I knew mine was faith. Faith is believing God for something that's impossible that nobody else believes can happen. My wife and I both have the same gift called apostle, which we just read in Ephesians 4, which means to actually start something from nothing. You sit here today because we believe God wanted us to start something from nothing. We went overseas and planted 12 house churches in the Islamic world that did not exist. We like that gift of apostle, and if we didn't have that gift, we could have tried it and it would have never worked. Does that make sense to anybody? God gives every single one of us, and once the church, it says in Ephesians 4, once we're all in our lane, doing what we're supposed to do, something crazy good happens, and we get closer to finishing what he's told us to do. So although you may not know what it is, start serving, engage the church, take a spiritual gifts test, and see what God is calling you to, because we all are called to that. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let me give you the second one, and that is this. The Holy Spirit not only gives us gifts, he sends the one, he is the one who sends us. He is the one who sends us. Would you repeat after me? Say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Say it again. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here's what I know to be true. Is that as you grow and as you get closer to God, all of a sudden, you're going to realize that the Acts 1:8 says, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you for what reason? To be my, and you will get power, but for what power? To be a what? Witness. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, my spirit, so that you can be my witness. Now, you may say, I just fell in love with God, but I don't know the Bible. I don't have a lot of history. I'm here to tell you, my friends, I was 16 years old, and I was lost as lost could be. And I had this encounter with God. I lived in the state of Indiana, came up to a youth camp in the state of Michigan. I found Jesus that day, knew nothing about the Bible, knew nothing about all the traditions in the church. All I knew is that when I got back, I just started telling people what God has done for me, he could do for them. That's the power of the Spirit that is calling us to be his witness. Can somebody say amen? Amen. If you really, really are excited about something, guess what? You will talk about that something. If it is Michigan, if it's Michigan State, if it's the Chicago Cubs, you will talk about those things, okay? And if God has authentically done something in your life, You will not hold it back, and you will not be ashamed of that. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. He gives us courage because of what he's done in my life. Now, if you only got religion, it doesn't matter. If you got religion, you can have religion and not have God. There are a lot of people that are in the church today that do not have God because they caught themselves up with religion. And I'm here to tell you that it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. Can somebody say amen? Amen. He's sending us. And what we know the Holy Spirit is saying to us today is he's saying to us that we need to be able to go to all the world. We have half of the world. Half of the world has never heard of Jesus. 3.5 billion people with a B have never heard of Jesus. And I'm wondering if we actually get this thing right. The closer I get to God's Spirit, the closer I get to the Spirit of God, I will realize that his heart is for the nations. And guess what? Therefore, my heart will be for the nations. You cannot get away from the heart of God. The closer you get to him, it's less about you and it's more about him and his mission. Can I get an amen? That's what we need to understand. And the Bible's full of examples. I don't have time to give you all of them, but let me give you a few. When God called Abraham, and he was going to bless Abraham, for those of you who know the Bible, all the way back in Genesis 12, it was not so that Abraham could have a blessed family. It wasn't so that he could just be happy-go-lucky and live life everlasting with lots of fun and lots of lack of any problems. No, he gave Abraham all that he gave Abraham for a reason, that he could bless the world. When they left Israel as an Exodus, the whole book of Exodus, they didn't leave just so that they could get out of slavery. God delivered them from Egypt so that they could become a witness and be a blessing to the nations. You following me? Scripture's very clear. Psalm 67 clearly says, "May all the nations praise you." So at the heart of the Holy Spirit is that for whatever reason, I don't get why, he wants to use you and I to finish the mission. He does. He wants to use you and I to finish the mission. I don't know why that's the case, but that is his desire above everything. And what does he say? His goal is Matthew 28 is to go out and make what? Go out and make what? Where are we supposed to make disciples at? Where? All over the world, is it not? Here's what I know to be true. Listen up. We haven't done a good job with that. We have not allowed the Holy Spirit to use us. So we just had, some of us were at a conference this week in downtown Detroit that actually does community development, and we need to do community development. And you'll have a lot of advocates there and activists there. Do you know why you have activists? Do you know why you have advocates? Because the church hasn't done discipleship. We have to do those things because the church hasn't done what it should be doing. If the church was doing what the church should be doing, we wouldn't have to stand up for the homeless. We wouldn't have to stand up for those who are hurting. We wouldn't have to stand up for those that are abused. We wouldn't have to stand up for justice issues because we would already have enough believers that are standing up in Jesus' name and standing in the gap. So the Bible's clearly saying the closer that we get to him is the more reality is that we will get to the heart of him and know that this is what he wants in our lives. Some of us actually will get this gift called of evangelism. Now, here's what you need to understand. Evangelism, some people say, I don't have the gift of evangelism, so I don't have to witness. No. Acts 1:8 says, you'll receive the Holy Spirit and you'll be my witness. We're all called to witness. But the gift of evangelism is this. You have this amazing way in which when you share the gospel with people, they come to a relationship with God. They say, I want that as a result of you sharing. You may have the gift of evangelism. There's also this gift called intercession, to pray. Maybe you have that gift. How do you know if you have the gift of intercession? You will pray for long lengths of time and you'll love it. And as you pray, you will see God actually work through that intercession and see lives change. We are realizing that if we're going to see the world change, we need to exalt these gifts in such a way, not one over the other, but one such a way that we can actually all be in our lane doing what God has called us to do. He's doing this. He's orchestrating. He's speaking. And you and I need to get on with what he has told us he wants from our lives. And we need to understand that it's for today. Where does he tell us we will be his witness in Acts 1:8? Jerusalem, that's our Detroit. And we are going to go after Detroit in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? Amen. That is the hub of what we do. My desire is that we're not better than any other church. Can I get an amen? We are just a corner little piece of the kingdom trying to show the love of Jesus, saying everybody's welcome here. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, and what you've done. You're welcome in this church. We're not the judge. Amen? But it's not limited to Detroit. He said Jerusalem, Judea. And Judea would be, we already as a young church, now we're in Dearborn. We got a couple over there sharing the love of Jesus with lots of Yemenese families and being involved in their lives on a day-to-day basis. We are engaged with Adam and Krista, making a difference in our Judea. Samaria is my hope is that we will actually go to another country just a few blocks away called Windsor, and we can engage a church plant there. Can somebody say amen? And we also are called to the utter ends of the earth. This is not mixed speaking. This is Acts 1:8. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. You'll be my witness, not just in your little group, not in just your little clique, not in just your little homie group, but you will actually say, we are going to be a witness to all people all over the world. Can I get an amen? And so we are committed. You saw last week, for those of you who were here, we have the young couple, the Paraventis in the Republic of Czech, 99%, 98% atheists, if they're young kids, saying we're going to follow Jesus to the ends of the earth. We're going to a country called Azerbaijan. We're going to a country called Sri Lanka. We're going to a country called Turkey. We are not committed to just one area. We're committed to all areas because that's what the Bible says to do, to love people regardless of what they believe and where they are, to show them the love of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? The Holy Spirit's role in our life is to give us a gift and then to send us out that we can actually make a difference for him. I'm reminded of Isaiah's words. He says, here am I, Lord, what? Send me. Let me give you the final point today, and this is really what I really want to get to today, and that is this. He is the one who glorifies God. The Holy Spirit, he is the one who glorifies God. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Would you say, bring us your glory, God? Say it again, bring us your glory, God. And I just read here in Ephesians, the way we bring glory to God is through our own lives. You were once immature, then you now are mature. You be more like Jesus, and when you're more like Jesus, then that brings glory to God. Now, what is glory? Glory allows people to actually see God, not in a hooky, spooky way, but the presence of God will come through your life, and you'll be able to see the majesty of God, the beauty of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God. Is this getting anybody excited? The holiness of God, the love of God, the justice of God, and the truth of God starts to flow through us, his hands and feet, in such a way that his glory comes down. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, you may say, now, this God you're talking about, Mick, he must really be in need, that he demands that we worship him. I'm here to tell you that God does not need our worship in order to be fulfilled. But God demands our worship because he knows that we won't be fulfilled unless we worship him. You may think that God maybe needs to get all the credit and he needs to be number one. What he understands is this. If you and I do not give God all the credit and we take the credit, it will destroy us. This is why he calls us, because he's created us and knows that. God says he is jealous for our love. And you may say, well, is he unfulfilled if we don't love him? No, he knows that if we do not love him as first in our lives, that if we don't give him all our attention, that we will be like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed all over the place. Anybody done this dance before? Been there, done that? Does that get tiring? One minute you're in the church saying, hallelujah, and the next minute you're out here doing this other thing, and you are living in torment. And he's saying to us today, I am a God that will be glorified, and I need you to give me everything. Live out your life in such a way that you will reflect his character. Live out your life in such a way that others will be give glory to him. If I take you back to the original language in Hebrew and Greek, the word worship, friends, how can I describe that? The word worship is literally this. It is prostrate, just like this on the ground. And when God shows up, sometimes as Americans, boy, I'm too dignified. I could never be prostrate on the ground. The Old Testament gives us examples. When God's presence comes down, if you've never experienced it, the God who created you, when his presence comes down, we have example after example where people will not be able to move. All they do is say, oh God, oh God, oh God. In the Old Testament, they said, tell God not to stop speaking, because if he keeps speaking, we're surely going to die. I don't know about you, but I want a little bit of that glory. Anybody with me? I don't want to put God in a box, but I want God to be able to do what God needs to do. Now, here's what I realize that God wants to do in our lives. I've been praying and believing this for us, that when the glory of God falls down in here, and if I said, God, if not us, who? And if not now, when? Why not Mosaic? Why not in the hood of Detroit? Why not your glory being displayed right here with imperfect people? Michael and I were talking this week, and he said, as he described our church, we're a bunch of misfits. Is anybody okay with that? At the foot of the cross, we're all equal, needing the glory of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. So here's what I've been praying. I've been praying at this last point that the Holy Spirit, that we would not be hokey pokey with the glory of God, but that we would actually see and experience the glory of God. And when I say that, what we use that term, we use the term called revival. And when we say the word of revival, that is a moment in which the uniqueness outpouring of God's Spirit falls on a group of people in such a way that that group of people know that they know. Now, here's the crazy thing about this. When God's Holy Spirit falls in a particular corporate setting like this, you may even not be a believer of God. But here's what we know, is that you will start making sense to you, because that's what you're created, even if you don't know you're created for it, because your spirit is now connecting with the Spirit of God who now has created you. So I'm not too worried about people that are seeking after God. I'm not too worried about people that are followers of God. I'm more worried about you who put God in a box and said, we cannot allow God to do this because we get a little bit uncomfortable. But now when I get a little bit more undignified, as King David said when the Ark of the Covenant was coming in, which meant God was coming in, and he just started stripping his clothes off and said, I will dance even more undignified before my God, because I will celebrate what he has done in my life. So here's been my prayer. America is now in a unique situation. You don't have to look very far to know we are at very challenging times. Agreed? Amen. And I hear what we know is that, I said this before and I'll say it again, we've seen the work of God over and over again. We have what's called the first great awakening that saved America from destruction. We had a second great awakening where the Spirit of God fell and it saved America from yet a destruction again. I am praying and I'm asking you, I don't want to read about the first and I don't want to read about the second. I want to experience the third great awakening called revival. Anybody with me? I'm a little bit hungry for God to show up. Now here's how we know it is of God. Here's how we know it. Usually when it happens, it's always preceded by repentance. Always starts with repentance, where people will stand up and they will be so honest. Nobody could orchestrate it. Nobody could bring it out. Just right then there, somebody steps up and says, I've got to make it right with this person. I've got to confess this addiction. I've got to confess this lust. I've got to confess this, and I need healing in Jesus' name. And from that moment, all of a sudden, it releases the Spirit of God, and then other people stand up. And then what happens is what the Bible says, is that when that occurs, then there's unity like we've never seen unity before. We are no longer divided. We are actually brought together because of the healing that God is doing in our lives. And the fractions that once occurred are no longer a part of our lives. And I don't know about you, but I have seen this over and over again. It usually happens in the college campuses. It usually happens with 20-somethings. You know why? The older we get, we've got it all figured out. Shame on us. I don't know about you, but let's show the college campus that people that are adults can actually see God show up. This makes sense? And it may get a little bit emotional. And it may get a little bit here and there, but here's what I say over and over again. If that occurs and it is of God, everybody will know it's of God, even though it may not be your personality. If it's man-made and people are running and shouting, you're going to know, hey, that's manipulated. But if it's God-induced, everybody's free with everybody doing what God needs them to do. Does that make sense? Amen. We know not only is that people start to repent, but when revival happens, we know that their people start to come to a relationship with God. And then guess what happens? Long before there was internet and television and all the rest, usually one location was chosen, and people from all over the area start hearing about what God is doing, and they start showing up, and we have meeting after night after night after night, just coming in and praising God, and people are getting healed, people are getting delivered, people are experiencing purpose of God, and people are getting called to ministry. I'm saying to you today, if not us, then who? And if not now, then when? Your pastor, as the leader, I'm not here just to build another church. I'm not here just to say that we've got a multi-ethnic, multi-economic, multi-generational church. But we could have a church that truly, when you walk through those doors, regardless of where you're at, that you would experience the power of God. You may not even know it's the power of God, but you would feel the warmth of God, you'd feel the love of God, you'd feel the acceptance of God, and you'd say, I want more of that. Can somebody say amen? Amen. It will start with us, my friends. And you may say, that pastor is a little bit crazy and a little bit intense. But I know that we are at the brink where we need something that only God can give us. Only God can do it. And I know that I can't manipulate. Here's the last thing is, he only calls us to be ready. We can't dictate and say, we want a revival. We can say that, but only God will know whether he wants to come and visit us or not in that way. He'll always be there. But whether he wants to visit in a powerful way, that's up to him. So basically, all I'm saying to you, to use a boat analogy, is this. Let's put up our sails, and where the Spirit goes, he will go. And if he could decide he wants to come in a powerful way over 80 West Alexandrian Street in Detroit, Michigan, so be it. May it happen. May we be ready to catch the wave and the wind of the Holy Spirit and say, have your way with our lives. Does this resonate with anybody? I'm here to tell you that the truth is possible for you. And we live so much lower than this. A.W. Tozer said this, we won't be 30 minutes in heaven where we will realize that we lived as spiritual paupers, which means poverty stricken spiritually, when God wanted us to live so much higher than we ever lived. I don't want to live down here. I want to experience the fullness of God. Anybody else? I want to see his power demonstrated in our lives. I don't want to walk around just trying to survive. I want to walk around being a conqueror. I want to know that he's able to change life upon life. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And in that song that we sang, Healing Rain, the crazy thing about that is he said, and the leper will rise up and walk. What do we know about the leper? The leper was the outcast. The leper was someone nobody would touch. The leper would have to say from 10 yards away, unclean, unclean, unclean. But all I know is that when the Holy Spirit falls, that the lepers are brought clean and they're able to be in our church. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He wants to heal every single one of us, wherever we're at, whatever we're doing. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to conclude and allow the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants in our life. And you may be uncomfortable with this. And I was kind of toying back and forth about all this. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, don't worry about them. You only have to be obedient to me. They're responsible for me as to how they respond. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up on the stage. I want you to bow your heads as we pray together. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, I pray right now that if I have said something that's not of you, those words would go away. But if I have said something that's of you, I pray that you would truly enable us to be your men and women, and that we truly could follow you every moment and every step. We don't need to do offering yet, guys. You can come on up here and be a part of the service. We got plenty of time. You don't need to do offering yet. You're good. Lord Jesus, I pray that your spirit would be everything that you want us to be, and that you would truly enable us to follow you every step of the way. We want to see you fresh and new in our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name that you would give us that. We don't want to be afraid. We want your healing rain to fall upon us. We pray in Jesus' name that you could enable us to experience that right now. Oh God, have your way with us. I'm praying this in Jesus' name. That's all I'm praying. Have your way with us. There are people here today that are struggling really bad. They've tried everything. When they're at their end, they need healing rain. We've done church over and over again, and we've missed what it means to truly be filled. We want to be filled with your presence. We ask that today that you would have your way with us in the few moments that we have, and that we truly could worship you with everything we have in truth and splendor. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to stand with me. Would you stand? Here's what we're going to do. I want you to truly, can you do this with me? Can you truly worship with us? Can we do it together? We're going to sing that song again, Healing Rain. Some of you may need to get out of your seat. And some of you may need to walk right in the aisle and symbolically say, Healing Rain, fall on me. Isn't that powerful? Right in front of God and everybody. Symbolically saying, fall on me. Maybe you need to come up at the altar. I don't know what God wants to do, but I just want to be ready. So Holly and team, would you lead us? Church, you can kneel where you're at, you can sit where you are, you can come and do whatever you want, but let's just worship the Lord. Would you lead us?